You're listening to a podcast from 702.
All right, to London now we go to catch up with Adam Gilchrist. Adam, a very good morning to you. It looks like we've got some kind of truce in Syria.
Yes, I think you framed it rather well. Something, maybe a bit like a truce, maybe not unlike a ceasefire, except it's a ceasefire that's been trumpeted, inevitably, by the Americans and Donald Trump, who has hailed his great deal-making team, the team being Vice President Mike Pence and the Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. They went to Ankara, they've had talks with President Erdogan of Turkey, and they say they have agreed a ceasefire that essentially means that Turkish forces who have gone into northeastern Syria will not continue the offensive. The only thing is Turkey isn't calling it a ceasefire, and the Syrian Kurds, who have been engaged to some extent with those Turkish forces, they are saying that, hang on a moment, you know, to call this a ceasefire and to broker it at this stage is to endorse what they are calling the Turkish invasion of northeastern Syria, because part of the terms is that the Syrian Kurds will dismantle defensive fortifications and pull back from the so-called buffer zone, from exactly what President Erdogan wanted. So it is always a question of where you draw the line, isn't it? If there's any kind of land grab going on, yeah, we've taken the bit we want, now we'll stop. Does that make it okay? I suppose a ceasefire is better than full-scale war, but under whose terms?
There was a letter that's surfaced, written by Donald Trump. I won't read you all of it. It's not even that long, but I don't know if you've seen it, Adam, but let me read some of it to you. Dear Mr. President, let's work out a good deal. You don't want to be responsible for slaughtering thousands of people, and I don't want to be responsible for destroying the Turkish economy, and I will. I've already given you a little sample with respect to Pastor Brunson. I've worked hard to solve some of your problems. Don't let the world down. You can make a great deal. And then you continues and he says, history will look upon you favorably if you've done, if you get this done the right and humane way. It will look upon you forever as the devil if good things don't happen. Don't be a tough guy. Don't be a fool. I will call you later. Sincerely, Donald Trump. I mean, it's just extraordinary what this man can do. Right, talk to me. A Brexit. Yeah?
I was going to say, isn't that the letter that President Erdogan said he put in the bin? Am I right?
What else can you do with such, right? A Brexit deal is on the offer.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose when is a ceasefire not a ceasefire? Now this is when is a deal not a deal? First off, take it at face value. Boris Johnson has done what people didn't think he could do, which is renegotiate, even though it's really only moving the goalposts a tiny bit. But still, he has renegotiated with some European Union negotiators who said they wouldn't do that, that they already had a deal with Theresa May. So on the one hand, excuse me, God on him, he's got some agreement on how the UK leaves the European Union in 2 weeks. In fact, less than 2 weeks. It's 2 weeks last night. Of course, without that agreement, Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister, says he's absolutely intent that we will still leave. So a no deal if necessary. So this is where the important bit comes in. It's all very well, the Prime Minister and the European Union agreeing this. Now it's down to Parliament in London to ratify it. They couldn't ratify Theresa May's deal, given that there's only a few little twists and tweaks, I suppose in particular, to how Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland will interact in the future. Maybe those are very important little tweaks, but nonetheless, it's not vastly changed, given that the Conservative rebels, there are 23 of them who've basically been ejected from the party because they have voted against their own government, plus the Democratic Unionists, who are the key allies of the Conservatives to get anything through, as well as Labour, the Liberal Democrats, and the Scottish National Party, have all basically rejected this new deal. So if they all gang up, obviously that is the no deal, that is the no deal option. That is this deal voted against, and probably tomorrow, by the way. But there are some very interesting little rebel voices within those parties, people who are saying, I'd rather we had any deal than no deal. And if Boris Johnson is so intent on leaving in 2 weeks, perhaps it's better to vote for something that we don't really want, but it's better than the alternative. So there may just be enough rebels who will turn around to Boris's point of view. We're not holding our breath on this, but, you know, ceasefires, Brexit agreements, they're tricky things, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, listen, if he pulls off what nobody thought he could, he certainly will be smiling, at number 10 for a long, long time. Very finally then, Adam, a Nazi SS guard stands trial, accused of aiding 5,000 murders.
Yeah, this is the terrible stuff that happened at Stutthof camp in what is now northern Poland between 1944 and 1945. So, you know, we're 70 years plus later. And is Bruno Day is a guy who was a member of the SS. He essentially manned a watchtower at this particular camp. He says he knew what was happening. He knew that the people that it was happening to were not criminals. And he says there was nothing he could have done about it. But he is accused of being complicit in these 5,000 murders that took place. Now aged 93, he's gone on trial. I suppose there are a couple of important things here. Number one is that did he actually do anything, or just turning your back to something as part of your job, is that still aiding and abetting? And in fact, there was a rather key law change in Germany 3 years ago that means that he could be tried even if he did zero. But would you or I have done anything different? If he'd protested, if he'd tried to stop it, he'd have just been shot. But also, intriguingly, all this happened when he was only 17. He says he had no choice about joining the SS, and I believe that to be true. But it means, therefore, he's actually standing trial in a junior court, age 93, because it all happened before he was an adult. How weird is that?
Extraordinary. Adam Gilchrist, we'll leave it there for this morning's Worldview.